You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Left over there, come in, put them there, and put the butts in the butt cans, and that will help us a bunch. Saturday morning, this church provides breakfast to any and everybody. 9 o'clock, free of charge, come to the breakfast. They will be doing breakfast this week, so you can partake of it. Thank you again for being here. Jackson Street is locked down. Best I understood, I think some of the people were working too hard and they were afraid they were going to have a heart attack, and so they calmed them down. It's just... But anyhow, be that as it may, we're here. We're going to have a good time. And Brother Charles is going to come. Are you singing tonight?
Yes, sir.
All right. Very good.
Not just me, but we have, ever since we started Life Change Baptist, not we, but Brother Johnny and Kathy and about 89 people from... the senior class of another church that used to be here started the Life Change Baptist Church. Right there. Right there. You got them right there too. Yeah. Anyway, I've been praying that the Lord would give us a quartet. Used to have the Temple Quartet. I don't know if y'all ever heard of the Temple Quartet, but we were pretty doggone good for 25 years. And I loved it. It was the love of my life. Well, now the Life Change Quartet is, and our high tenor, for I don't know why, but he didn't make it tonight, so we don't have one. So we're the Life Change Quartet minus one, and this is our debut.
We're big enough for four, actually.
We're doing this.
The back row takes up for it.
That's it.
Shh. If you've ever played music or done anything on a platform where you had to have a sound system, one thing you learn is you make your sound men happy. So about every quarter we do Brother Ricky Connell's favorite song, and this is it. It goes like this. I'm so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh yeah, where the morning is bright and the Lamb, He is the light, and the night is as bright as the day. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I pray there'll be no sadness, sorrow, no troubles I see. There will be peace in the valley for me.
Thank you.
sadness, no sorrow, my Lord, in no troubles I see. There will be peace in that old valley for me.
Good song. I want to talk to you tonight, and just for the next few minutes.
No, but if I'd have known it was for Rick, I'd have wouldn't even shown up.
Do what?
If I'd have known this was for Ricky, I would have never shown up.
I don't think anybody cared. Next few minutes, want to talk to you just about problems that we have that we can't fix. All of us get some of those. And bottom line, there's just one person that can fix them, and that's Jesus Christ. But just want to look at some things, and maybe the officials with Gateway, who was the teaching company that for IPTCs and Safe Peace, said that I asked one of them, they started out as 9 months of incarceration and intense training, then 3 months halfway house and 1 year outpatient counseling. And I knew one of the counselors, and I asked him, I said, where did y'all get 9 months? That's kind of an odd figure. And he said, well, Gateway's research showed that it took 4.5 months to get bad thinking out of a person. And they wanted equal time. They wanted 4.5 months to put good thinking into a person. Now, I'm going to disagree with that a little bit, because I hadn't had a drink in over 30 years, and I still got some bad thinking. All right, let me tell you. No, I'm not proud of it. Don't clap. I'm not bragging about it. I wished I didn't have it. But what I do know is they were approaching it right. It had to do with thinking. Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. We're going to act like we think. And so we live in a time that there are just some problems that we can't fix. And they happen to everybody. It doesn't make any difference how much money you got or do not have. It doesn't make any difference in how good a physical shape you're in or how out of shape you are. It doesn't make any difference how tall you are, fat you are, skinny you are, short you are. It doesn't make any difference where you live, how much education you got. There are some problems that just get us. So we're going to start. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And if you don't have a Bible and would like to turn there, raise your hand, and we've got some people that'll bring you a Bible. And let me say this about these Bibles. If you do not have a Bible with you, keep that one as our gift to you. We'd like to give it to you. That's something you don't need to leave home without. But keep that Bible. Now, if you're not going to keep it, when you leave tonight, if you put it on the back table back here, we'd appreciate it. Don't leave it at your seat, because somebody will have to come and pick it up and take care of it. So if you'd help us that would be good. Hebrews 9:27 says this, And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You know, the death rate is still the same. It's still one death for every birth. Maybe we're living a little longer now than we did 50 years ago. We've got wonder drugs. But you know, the truth of the matter is, everybody in here is going to be put to death, be able to shove. You need the Bible?
Sir, what page are you on?
It's Hebrews 9:27. I don't know what page it is in that Bible.
158.
What?
158.
It's going to be a lot more than 158. What is it?
581.
581. Okay. But whoever you are, wherever you are, every one of us is going to be put to bed with a shovel. Think about that. And now, what's amazing about this is that Jesus is the only one that never left a funeral. Now, he went to three and ruined them. People got up. So you can't stay dead around Jesus. Now, you can Muhammad, and you can Buddha, and you can Reverend Moon, and Republicans and the Democrats, and higher education, and money, and a good family, but we're going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die, and then, notice what he said to judgment. The second thing that we can't solve is sickness. When I was a kid, the most dreaded disease was polio. Not only did it disable and affect and paralyze people, but it killed many kids. And it was a kind of a kid's disease. I went to school with two people who survived polio. One was in high school and one was in college. And both of them, as they were grown, one carried his hand like this and drug a foot. And the other one was just skin and bones and kind of could barely walk. Today, nobody fears polio. The baby gets a polio shot. A guy by the name of Salk came up with a vaccination, and polio is solved, and nobody worries about it anymore. But we solve one, and another pops up. Now we got AIDS. Nobody's solved that yet. I get kind of amused at that. We won't. Everybody wants to talk about solving AIDS. Nobody talks about preventing it. I can tell you how to prevent it. Yeah. We could stop it real quick. But we want to go ahead and do that part of it. Today, healthcare is big business. That's hospitals, nursing homes. People just get sick. West Nile virus is something we cannot solve at this point in time. Smallpox has been solved. We've got these different types of poverty. That's another one of those things we can't fix. Poverty. Do you realize, I just found this out, America spent $22 trillion trying to solve poverty. In 1964, Lyndon Johnson, president, came out with what he called a war on poverty. Now, what's kind of interesting about that is that gave $20,610 to every poor person in America. And we still got poverty. Now, we have a little higher class poverty. than most people do. Our people that are poverty stricken all got cell phones and can smoke what, when I was a kid, we called them ready roll cigarettes. Because a lot of people rolled their cigarettes. See, I wasn't, and I looked out there tonight, I didn't see anybody smoking Bugle. We have got the money for that. You go on the south side, you won't find a house with a black and white TV. In fact, I doubt if you'll find one that doesn't have flat screen TV. We're doing pretty well here. And three times, Jesus said in Matthew, Mark, and John. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. We'll read that one. But he said it in three of the Gospels. In Matthew, chapter 26, and verse 11, he said, "For you have the poor always with you." Now, first time I read that, I thought that meant I was never going to die. If the poor will be here forever. But we've always, and the reason we got poor is because people are going to make themselves poor. That's a choice. Now, there's places, and if you and I have been born in India, we don't have a free enterprise system. We can't get some of the stuff that we got here. If we'd been born in Red China, if you'd been born in Mexico, for 3 years I lived down in Uvalde, Texas. That was 60 miles from Pagres Negras. And it made a lot of difference on whether, on which side of that Rio Grande you born on. And nobody gets to choose that. We didn't get to choose where we were born or to whom we were born. Another thing that is everywhere and we can't fix is crime. We're always going to have it. It's interesting to see different thinking people tell us what we need. The evolutionist who thinks that we came, what was it somebody said, from goo to the zoo to you, but that we evolved from animals. The evolutionist said we just need more time to develop. If we just got the time, we'd get to the eugenics, the study of breeding, says we need better breeding. That's what Hitler tried to do. The sociologist said we just need better environment. We need to hang around the better class. The educator says we need better teaching and we need to get rid of ignorance. And then the psychologist says man needs to think better of himself, recognize his potential. But if you notice this, every one of them says man needs something. Let me tell you about life. In living in this life, it's kind of like skydiving. You watch those skydivers, they can go to the right or they can go to the left. They can slow down, they can speed up. But you know what? None of them can go back to the plane.
Nope.
Just doesn't happen. We're going to keep going downward. Now let me say this, man didn't need something, man needs someone. That's what we really need. Another thing we can't control is natural disasters. I want you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23. There's a lot of verses like this in the Bible, Old Testament and New. But we're just going to read this one, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 19. He said, "Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. Do you realize that tornadoes, hurricanes, and cyclones are all whirlwinds? Yeah. We got people talking about global warming. Man can do no more with our weather. In fact, they can't even get it right. We spend more money on weather. I remember the newscaster talking about we got a Doppler machine. Well, great. That means that tomorrow you can tell me if it rained yet today or not. Because it said, man, and I love this, we are all so positive about ourselves, but we have a 12% chance of rain. What? Nobody says we got an 88% chance of nothing. We got a 20% chance of rain, and people grab an umbrella. Forget it. Hey, and how many times in Odessa, Texas, have we expected rain and did not get a drop? If you lived here very long, you know that. Not very good at predicting the weather. Let me tell you, God controls the weather. Not the barometric pressure, not the highs or lows in the Gulf, and certainly not global warming. And the politicians that try to control that. Let me tell you something else we have nobody controls. Is religious problems. Every religion, Muslims, Buddhist, Christianity, whatever it is, we've got thousands of them. Google it up. Thousands of them over this world. They all disagree. Not only that, but if you get into one religion with denominations, they all disagree. We live in the Bible Belt. That's southeast United States, Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Alabama. But you know, we got church on every other corner. Most of you were raised in places that got church. In fact, Abilene's got three religious colleges. They're universities now. And they all disagree. That started in Eden. Satan challenged Adam and Eve and said, did God tell you that if you ate of that tree, you was going to die? And they said, yes, sir, he sure did. And he said, well, you won't. Actually, what he was saying was God lied to you. He told you wrong. And because of that, sin came upon all men, and they were banished from the garden, and one son killed another. And every man, you and I, are born in sin. And if you want to check it out, you take... Those of you got kids, nobody in here ever had to teach your child to say mine. We're teaching them say thank you, no ma'am, yes ma'am, please, pardon me, grandpa, grandma. But they pick up on that mine real quick. And if you want a optical observation of it, put two two-year-olds in the same room with one toy and watch them share. Hey, that's our nature. But it all started over religion. What has God said? Now, let me tell you what Jesus did. And there are people that are really mad at him for this. I want you to turn over to the book of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. Verse Jesus has finished talking to the public. It's in the last few days of his life. What he's saying from John 12 to the end, up until his crucifixion, was just between him and his disciples. He's making no more public speeches. And they're upset because he's told them he's going to die. And they didn't believe it. In fact, Peter said, yeah, that's not going to happen. I'll save you from that. But notice what he said. And starting with verse 1, John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Now, we've talked about things that trouble us. Death troubles us. Sickness troubles us. Poverty troubles us. There are things in our life that cause us trouble. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know the way, you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Listen to Jesus' answer. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, let me say this. When Jesus made that statement, he's either a liar, he's wrong, and he knows he's wrong, or he's a lunatic. He believed that about himself, but he was wrong. He was mentally unstable. Or he's Lord. Which is it? What is he in your life? When Paul was headed to Damascus to arrest and imprison and maybe even execute people who had trusted Jesus, Jesus Christ knocked him down on the road. And here's what he said to him. He didn't say, Saul, why are you out there bothering my people? He didn't say, what do you got against the church? He didn't say, why are you tormenting these folks? You know what he said? He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? ...2015 language, Saul, it's me and you, mano mano. What do you got against me? Because, see, our only hope to beat death and sickness and poverty and crime and disasters, all of it, our only hope is Jesus Christ. If that doesn't work, I have no other place to go. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but the only way to get to heaven, the only way to get to God, is through his Son, Jesus Christ. And God said this about his Son, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Don't you bow your heads for a moment. And we've just talked a little bit about things I hope you give some thought to. You do some thinking. Most of us in here have got a pretty bad background that we can't do a thing in the world about. I really wish I had a delete button on my life, because there's some stuff I would like to get rid of. I wish it was never there. I'm sorry they ever happened. But we can't. You can't do a thing about it. But let me tell you what you can do. You can do everything about your future. You're not stuck there. You can turn to Jesus Christ tonight and get off that road you're traveling and get on the road to heaven. And even while you're here, to have supernatural help in your life, to handle death and to handle sickness and to handle poverty and to handle crime and any disaster that shows up. And you'd say, Leland, I want to trust Jesus Christ, my Savior. I want to be saved. I'm tired of where I am. I'm willing to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ tonight. Would you just slip your hand up real quickly? God bless you. I see your hand. Yes, yours. Yes, yours. God bless you. Put it back down once you. Yes, I see your hand. Now, here's what I'm going to do. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, not the mouth, but with the heart, you get saved. With your mouth, that is, thou shalt confess. But with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Brother Charles is going to begin to sing, Just As I Am. And on that, we're going to stand. And on that very first verse, I want you to step out and say, I trust Jesus Christ tonight. Let's stand, head still bowed, eyes still closed. Our Heavenly Father, I just pray for those that lifted their hands and for those that didn't, that tonight they would come and be what you'd have them to be. We know this, you never turned down anybody that came to you in sincerity. So, Father, help them to do that tonight. In Christ's name, amen. Brother Charles, come on, right now.
Just as
I trust Jesus as my Savior. Come on, you lifted your hand. That's the first step. Second step, come on, come on. Yeah. You to do? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone? Brother Charles is going to sing one more verse. And whether anybody comes or doesn't come, it'll be our last verse. Would you come on this verse, Brother Charles?
Just as I am.
Come on.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.